This morning, I want to share with you an interaction that happens in Jeremiah. The officers of the army, with them all the people of Jerusalem and Judah. From the least to the greatest, the Bible says, they all come together to meet with the prophet. I believe in their encounter and the result of it, there's a challenge for us. Certainly a warning as well. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 42. Let me set the scene for you first this morning. In Jeremiah 39, the city of Jerusalem falls. The king is Zedekiah. He flees the city but is soon captured. Just before his eyes are put out, his sons, all of his sons are killed in front of him. He's then taken away to Babylon in captivity. The armies of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king and conqueror, they will set fire to the royal palace. They will break down the walls of Jerusalem. Ultimately, they will destroy the temple as well. It's a most violent and destructive time for God's people in God's land. The armies of Babylon will take many of the people away into captivity to Babylon, but as well, they will allow some, a remnant, to remain in Judah. They will, in fact, appoint a governor over the land. He will encourage the people, settle down, plant and harvest, serve the Babylonians. His promise to them, he would be a representative for them before their new king. We then read this in Jeremiah chapter 40 and verse 11. When all the Jews in Moab, Ammon, Edom, and all the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah and had appointed Gedaliah as governor over them, they all came back to the land from all the countries where they had been scattered. The surrounding kings and countries, though, are not pleased with this return. So they send an assassin, if you will, to kill the newly appointed governor. He does kill him in Jeremiah 41. And with him, a number of others. He takes captive a large group as well. Some of them royalty. Army officers that were still in Judah hear about this. And they go and rescue those taken captive. But now they, with all the people, are very much afraid. The one, the Babylonians. Now remember, the Babylonians have conquered Judah. The Babylonians are the conquerors. All that remains are the conquered. The one the Babylonians had left in charge, their man, their guy, all of you that remain, you're going to follow this guy. He's our guy. When he speaks for us. When he acts for us. The people of the area have killed the governor. All the people that remain recognize there's surely coming consequence, trouble for the land. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to destroy anything and everything, everywhere, in response to the governor, their guy, being killed. It might not have been their fault. They didn't rebel. They didn't kill him. But their assumption, Babylon's not going to care. And for them, their recognition is going to be more war. It's going to be more death. It's going to be more hunger. It's going to be more starvation. It's going to be just more trouble. And they didn't know what to do. So they go to the prophet. This morning, their encounter with him. For a few minutes, a message I've entitled, Borrowing from the Great Western, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. First, the good. Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Then all the army officers and all the people from the least to the greatest approached Jeremiah the prophet and said to him, Please hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you now see, though we were once many, now only a few are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. I have heard you, replied Jeremiah. I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you've requested. I will tell you everything the Lord says and will keep nothing back from you. I read this a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and immediately thought of it related to prayer. In fact, my initial response was to share, not necessarily the entire story, but to share these few verses here as a lesson, if you will, in prayer. This is what we do in prayer. We ask God where we should go. We ask God what we should do. This is what we discover in prayer, through prayer, because of prayer. God reveals to us where we should go and what we should do. In prayer, he makes known to us what he wants to do in us. He makes known to us what he wants to do for us and what he wants to do through us. What he wants to accomplish in our lives. The work he wants to do. The changes he wants to make. The shaping and molding into the image of Jesus that he wants to do. In prayer, God responds to us. In prayer, God answers us. In prayer, we ask him for his guidance. We ask him for his direction. We ask him for his wisdom. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to solve the problem. We don't know how to fix the mess we're in. We don't know where to go. We don't know which way to go. In prayer, we ask him and he answers us. In prayer, we ask him for his help. We ask him to intervene in the impossible situation for us, albeit not impossible for him, because nothing is impossible for him. In prayer, we ask him to do what we nor anyone can or could do for us. And he answers us. He does for us, and he does in us the thing we could never otherwise do. He makes to happen in us and for us what would otherwise never happen. He lets us to receive what we would never otherwise receive. In prayer, we ask him to make his power to be manifested in our lives. And he does that. And we experience his power. We experience the power of his healing. We experience the power of his provision. We experience the power of his presence. God shows up and things happen. Listen to this in Luke chapter 11. In verse 9, Jesus says, "And so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open." In verse 11, "Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children." Listen to this. "How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Do you understand? This is what we do in prayer. We ask him for his Holy Spirit. And according to his word, the word of a God who cannot lie, he gives his Spirit to those who ask him. We ask him because he answers us. He guides us, directs us, helps us, gives us the wisdom that we would seek from him. Scripture often puts it this way: we inquire of the Lord. In Judges chapter 20, Israel is fighting an internal civil war kind of thing with the tribe of Benjamin. They will inquire of the Lord. It's interesting, but they will lose the battle. Then they will inquire of the Lord again and still lose the battle. Still once more, a third time. A sense, "Lord, you keep telling us, yes, go out and fight the tribe of Benjamin. And we keep obeying, but we keep losing. And yet, Lord, here we are once again. Should we go out into battle again?" And the Lord says, "Yes," and this time gives the victory. In 1 Samuel 23, David inquired of the Lord, and because he did, he saved a city and his own life. In 1 Samuel 30, he inquired of the Lord, and he got back for he and his men all that the enemy had taken from him. In 2 Samuel 5, David inquired of the Lord in dealing with the Philistines. The Lord responds, and David did what the Lord said, and victory was won. Watch this, though. The Philistines come back. So what does David do? He fights the battle the same way he did the first time, right? So he can experience the same victory. It worked then. Surely it'll work now. No. In fact, that's not at all what David does. What does he do? He inquires of the Lord again. The Lord has David do different this time. The result, though, the same. David inquires of the Lord, and the victory was won. To our portion of Scripture this morning, the people asked Jeremiah to inquire of the Lord. He does. And the Lord gives the people the word that would be life for them. It's a fear not word. It's a I'm with you and will save you and will deliver you word. It's a I will show you compassion and restore you word. Listen, Scripture is clear. This is the good. We inquire of the Lord. We ask of God, where should we go? What should we do? We ask Him for His help. We ask Him for His wisdom. We ask Him for His guidance. We ask Him for His power. We ask Him for His Spirit. We ask Him and we keep on asking. No matter the initial setback, no matter even the initial defeat, we ask Him all the time. We ask Him every time. We don't trust in the victory won before. We don't trust in the methods that won us the victory before. We trust in the Lord. And so we inquire of Him and He answers us. And He gives us the help. He gives us the guidance. He gives us the direction. He gives us the wisdom. He gives us the power. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us the victory. We ask of Him, and He answers us with the fear not word. The I'm with you, and I'm going to show you compassion. I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to restore you. Don't you know it's the good? So can I ask you this morning, are you doing that for what you're going through? For what you're dealing with, for all that is life for you right now, have you inquired of Him? Have you sought Him? Have you asked of Him so you can receive from Him His help, His guidance, His direction, His wisdom? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you this morning, what you need is the wisdom of the Lord. Have you asked Him then for that? Have you inquired of Him? Lord, what's the way I should go? What's the way I should take? How should I respond? Lord, how do I find victory in this situation? The enemy's attacking. The enemy's come after me. The Babylonians are coming. The Philistines are here. So, Lord, I'm inquiring of You. What should I do so that I can live in the victory that You've promised to me? Are you seeking Him, asking of Him, inquiring of Him? That's the good. That's the good that comes from an understanding. Truly, God's the only one who really can help us. Maybe we would say it like this. No one helps us or can help us like God can. No one. No wonder then we inquire of Him. I was thinking of this related to just the last couple of weeks. Chuck and Carol have recently decided, very difficult decision, but the wise one, they were needing to find a new home for their dog. And they asked me to help just on the computer side of things. Can we do something on Craigslist? And so I sat at the computer a couple of weeks ago and tried to do the best that I could. I had been to their home and I had taken pictures and I scrolled through my phone. I'm trying to find the very best picture. I tried to phrase everything just the right way. In fact, I think I turned to Jenny at least once, if not a couple of times. How does this sound? What do you think about this? I want it to sound good and look good. For an entire week, nothing. except one phone call, only that, though, because the person misread the ad. It was a mistake. After exactly 1 week, I remember still Carol calling and, "What's going on? Anything? Carol, there's been nothing." So then, what's the response? Well, of course, the response, we've got to do more. We've got to work harder. So now, listen, Carol, what we'll do, we'll put it on Facebook. I'll make up flyers. Carol, I'll put in an ad. And there we go, off to do all that we can, the best we can. On Thursday, Chuck's at the groomers. A woman overhears him talking about needing to find a new home for their dog. And the woman responds, "We've been praying. As a family member, we've been praying to find a pet for them." I was thinking of that related to the message. A great illustration, albeit a simple one. If you're not into pets, you might have a hard time relating. But this is it. We do the best we can. But in this situation, in many situations, that's not where the answer is found. It had nothing to do with what we did. All my efforts scrolling through pictures. No, not that picture. I don't know if I like that one. It looks like something's out of place. Well, let's think about it for a few minutes. And then a few minutes. No, let's. Well, maybe let's. And then all my wording, my fancy wording in this little ad. No, let's not say it that way. Let's say it this way. All that we did. And in the end, it was a woman praying. Oh, we've been praying that we'd find a pet for our family member. And then, just happens, just by coincidence, I'm not so sure. At the groomers, the same day as Chuck, it'll take to Friday for the details to be arranged, but really on Thursday, that dog has found a new home. I wonder how many times we do the best we can. How many times we work hard, we put in the best effort. We try to be the most creative. We give the most care to every little detail. All of which is good, but we forget to inquire of the Lord. We forget to simply pray about it, to involve God in what we're doing, only to discover that if we would have, the work would have been a lot less, and the worry as well. All that happened with my heart and mind set on this morning's message, I couldn't help but think, we didn't need the perfect ad. We didn't need the perfect flyer. We needed simply to ask that God would arrange the perfect encounter. And this is, well, what God does. It was the perfect situation for both parties involved. This person had recently lost their dog and was grief-stricken. A family recognizing they need a pet companion, if you will. And from that, Chuck and Carol having a confidence, this is a person who's going to care deeply for their dog and provide a perfect home for her. So then this is true. I'm not sure all that would have happened apart from a woman asking God. Would we have sold the dog? I'm pretty sure we would have. We ended up getting a lot of response from Facebook and even the flyers around town. I'm pretty sure we would have. But would it have been the perfect setup like this was? I don't know. I'm inclined to think not. Do you understand? We inquire the Lord. We ask of Him because we understand our best help, better than the help anyone could offer, better than the help we could ever even provide ourselves, our best help comes from the Lord. Anything else can't compare to the help He can provide. I was thinking of it simply this way. Want less worry? Want less work? Want the great, not just the good? Want the best, not just the not bad? Want the perfect setup and the perfect situation? Then you don't just do what you know to do. You don't just go to someone for what they know to do. You ask Him. You inquire of the Lord. That's the good. But really, in fact, it's more than just that. It's the good that is good for you. And it's the good that's always good. So when I read this, I immediately thought of it related to prayer. But as I spent more time considering it, especially in preparation for the message this morning, it's that. It's a good reminder. It's a good point for prayer. But I've come to believe that the Lord would have us to know today, this is much more than just that, if we would say it that way. This is much more than just being about a scheduled prayer time. This is much more important than just to be reserved for a Wednesday night when we go to prayer, or a Sunday night, first Sunday night of the month when we go to prayer, even for you to take into your own devotional and prayer time. This is about inviting God to be a part of our everyday life. Let me say it this way. This engaging with God, talking to Him, asking of Him, seeking His help and His protection, His care, His guidance, His direction, His wisdom, His power, His Spirit, His victory. This isn't just a reactive kind of thing. This isn't just something for us when the enemy's attacking. Babylonians are on their way. When you're in a situation, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, when you find yourself in trouble, needing help, is it for that? Yes, it's for that. Listen, if that's you this morning, if you find yourself under attack, if you're in the middle of trouble, listen, hear the word of the Lord this morning. This is what you do. You inquire of Him. You ask of Him. It is for that. But it's not just for that. This is a proactive thing as well. It's something we would do well to make a habit of day in and day out, even in fact, every moment of every day, day in and day out. More than just a scheduled time to meet with God, to ask of God, to talk to God. I believe by His word this morning, the Lord is inviting us into constant communion with Him. Maybe best to say it like Paul did. It's not about scheduled prayer. It's about praying without ceasing. Constant, daily, every day, communion with God. Even in and with just ordinary, everyday stuff. I was thinking of that. I'm good in the trouble. I know how to seek the Lord in the trouble. I know how to inquire of Him and ask of Him when the troubles come and it's all around. I know how to spend prayer time. I know how to spend communion time. God, would you help? God, would you protect? God, would you bless? God, would you deliver? God, would you save? God, would you do? Lord, I need this. I need that. We need you to step in. We need you to intervene. I'm just not very good when everything's fine. I'm not good in the not a problem, just everyday stuff. I was recently talking to a pastor. He told a story about their church. Something about the story prompted a question from me about the church's policy. This is what they normally do. And he told me, well, this is what we normally do. But then he went back to the story and said, this time, though, it was different. And he said this, I wanted to wait and hear from the Lord on that. It was just a casual conversation, but all of a sudden, I'm feeling this challenge in my heart, really a sense of conviction. I don't do that enough. I don't inquire of the Lord enough in just day-to-day, everyday kind of things. I don't wait to hear from Him, the matter at hand, all too often. I just rush ahead. I do what I know to do. I do what I think to do. I do what I believe to be best to do. But that's not the good. The good is asking of Him in all things, all the time. I was thinking of this just the other day as well. Most of us would likely remember the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot. Odd as it may sound and be, I was thinking of that in light of the message, God's with me all the time. It was Friday. All of a sudden, the realization really is true. God's with me all the time. He's in the car with me. In the context of that bumper sticker, I'm in the driver's seat, I could think of him being in the passenger one. But here's the challenge I'm feeling. Do I ever even acknowledge him? This isn't devotional prayer time. This isn't Wednesday night prayer. This isn't first Sunday night of the month prayer. This isn't the middle of a huge problem that I have to figure out and how to solve and how to take care of. This is just the middle of the day, driving down the road. God's with me, but am I even aware of it? Do I engage with him? Do I talk to him? Do I worship him? Do I ask of him? I know it can't always happen. This is true. Whenever our family is all together in the car, you understand that's six out of control kids and two on the verge of crazy adults. I don't even answer the phone, let alone think of talking with God. But when I can, do I? I'm afraid I don't, at least not nearly enough, not nearly like I should. This is the encouragement for each of us today. Yes, this is for prayer. But it's also this, when you can, as often as you can, make a habit of acknowledging God with you. This is the good. Include him in the day-to-day. Engage him in the car, in the grocery store aisle, at the work desk. Love him, worship him, ask him, talk to him. So just Friday, message on my heart. There's a worship song stuck in my head. You know how it is. The song that just won't go away, worship or otherwise. Can't get it out of your mind. You keep hearing it, thinking about it, wanting to sing it. So I'm thinking of this. God's my co-pilot. God's in the car. It's not prayer time. But I want to respond to God with me. God in the car with me. I need to respond to that. Inquiring of the Lord, asking of him, engaging him. It's not just the good reaction when there's trouble. It's the good even when just driving in the car. So this is what I did. I began to sing this worship song to him. How many are glad you weren't in the car with me? How many would have liked to seen that drive? What in the world is that guy doing? I just began to sing, not just sing the song, but to sing it to him. You may be inclined to immediately respond, I couldn't do that. I would never do that. That's okay. But what can you do beyond just your scheduled time with him in prayer and sharing with him your trouble? Wherever, whenever, asking him for his help, his power, his spirit. How can you engage with him in more the everyday stuff? Lord, where should I go? Lord, what should I do? Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, I'm about to punch in. What can I do for you today? Lord, I'm about to get the grocery list filled out. What can I do for you today? Lord, I'm about to meet some friends. What can I do for you today? I see my neighbor across the street. Lord, what can I do for you today? What do you want to do in me? What do you want to do through me? Wherever, whenever, worshiping him, declaring your praise and adoration to him for all he's done, for all he's doing, for all that he is. Wherever, whenever, communion with him, loving him, talking to him, acknowledging him with you. I really believe it from Jeremiah today, the Lord would have us to know the privilege that is ours in prayer. Asking him, inquiring of him so that he can respond to us and answer us and help us like no one can or no one ever could. That's the good. That's the army officers. That's the people from the least to the greatest. That's what they did. That's the good they did. God, we're in trouble. And so we're coming to the one who can help us like no one can. We're coming to you. We're seeking your help. We're asking of you. We're inquiring of you. We want you involved in this situation, this trouble that we're in. But I believe as well, the Lord would have us to know this today, that the privilege is ours even apart from prayer time. The privilege is ours all the time. Wherever, whenever, we can ask of him. wherever, whenever, we can meet with him. Don't let God be just your go-to person in times of trouble. Can we just be honest, full disclosure? Some of us don't know what to say to God if we're not talking to him about a problem. Come spend an hour in prayer. How in the world am I going to spend an hour in prayer? How many problems do you think I have, Pastor? I don't even know enough people to spend an hour in prayer reciting and rehearsing all their problems. We don't know what to say to God. We don't know how to talk to him. We don't know how to worship him. We don't know how to commune with him. We don't know how to talk to him as our friend. We only know how to ask him for his help in the middle of the trouble that we're in. Don't let God be just your go-to person in times of trouble. Make him a part of your day-to-day life. Include him in day-to-day decisions. I know you know what to do, but include him. And don't be afraid to wait and hear from him. Isn't that very problematic? We're so rushed. We don't have time to wait on the Lord. Lord, I would love your guidance in this situation. Time's up, Lord. I gotta go. I've decided what I'm going to do. Include him in day-to-day activities. If you don't feel comfortable singing to him in the car, at least talk to him. He's with you where you go. So include him. Consider him as you go. Can I ask you this morning, how will you do that? What's that going to look like for you? I just believe it. I believe it's part of the lesson for us, the good for us. The message of Jeremiah is simple. Pray, ask God, seek him, inquire of him. But I just feel it's part of the message as well. Maybe a deeper part of the message. Do that, but don't just do that when there's trouble. Do that, but don't just do that when it's prayer time. Do that and do that all the time. Make more the habit. Let it be more the pattern and experience of your life. Lord, I want you involved in everything. I want to know the privilege of prayer, not just in prayer time, but all the time. I want to ask of you. I want to inquire of you when I'm in the middle of the trouble and even when I'm just in the middle of my day. I think it's true. All of us can do that more and better. That's the good, and once more, it's the good for us. Listen, the more you engage with God in the everyday stuff, the more aware you will be of his presence with you in the everyday stuff. It's true. We know it's true. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We have come to this place to collectively meet with God. But you understand, you don't have to go anywhere to meet with God because he is with you. Wherever you are, wherever you go. More often than not, we're just not aware of him with us out there. That's it. That's the invitation that the Lord extends to us from Jeremiah. He is with you, even out there. Yes, in here. Yes, in prayer time. Yes, on Wednesday nights. Yes, in your devotional time. Yes, when you call out to him. Yes, when there's trouble. Yes, when the enemy's attacking. He's with you, but he's also with you in the middle of the mundane. You invite him to help you in your trouble, and he answers. He responds. Listen to me this morning. You invite him to help you in your trouble, and you get his help. You get his guidance. You get his direction. You get his wisdom. You get his word of compassion and salvation and deliverance and restoration. You call out to him in your trouble, and you get his power, and you get his spirit, and you get the victory. Now, do you understand? Invite him into the everyday stuff, and won't you get the same? You'll get the same help in the everyday thing. You'll get the same guidance. You'll get the same wisdom. You'll get the same power. You'll get the same help and anointing of the Spirit. You'll get the same victory. Do you understand the courage, the confidence that we can live in as we live more in that? Out there, it's not me against the world. God's with me. And I've invited him to be a part of even the everyday worldly kind of stuff. It's not me having to figure the details of my day. God's with me. And I've invited him to provide his help and his guidance and his direction and his wisdom, even in just the details of my day stuff. It's not me alone, not ever. God's with me. The faith that would be greater in us. How we would live more and better in the purity and holiness that God demands of us. I can't act like this. I can't talk like this. I can't post that. I can't send that text. I can't write that email. God's right here with me, seeing it all. How our worship would be sweeter and more adequate. Listen to me this morning. You don't have to sing in the car if you don't want. But hear me today. Your God, the God of heaven and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator and savior of the world, he most definitely deserves worship that's more than just Sunday morning. If this is all you're offering, I'm telling you right now, it's not enough because he deserves more. You don't have to sing in the car. You don't even have to sing. You've got to find a way to worship him because he's worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and all the worship from you and me and all of heaven and earth even as well. Invite him into the daily thing so the daily you would then offer to him the worship he deserves. Our relationship with him will go deeper. He won't just be the God you run to in your trouble. He'll be the God that is your friend, your close companion. The officers, the people, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. So they pray. They inquire the Lord. They ask God because they need his help, because no one can help them like God can. They include him. They did in their trouble. We do it in even everything. That's the good. Unfortunately, it's the only good. The bad. Jeremiah 42 and verse 3. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go, what we should do. They said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Verse 6. Whether it's favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord. Verse 7, 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So he called together the army officers, all the people from the least to the greatest. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition, says. If you stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I'm grieved over the disaster I've inflicted on you. Don't be afraid of the kings of Babylon, whom you now fear. Don't be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I'm with you and will save you, will deliver you from his hands. I will show you compassion so that you'll have compassion on you and restore you to your land. O remnant of Judah, verse 19, the Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Jeremiah 43 and verse 1. When Jeremiah finished, Azariah and Johanan, all the arrogant men, said to Jeremiah, you're lying. The Lord our God has not sent you to say to us, you must not go to Egypt. Baruch, son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to hand us over to the Babylonians so they may kill us and carry us into exile. So Johanan, son of Kariah, and all the army officers and all the people disobeyed the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. The good comes with great caution. You're going to invite the Lord to help you in your trouble. That's the good. Listen, you have to be ready for his direction. You have to be ready for what he says, for what he tells you to do to get out of the trouble. You're going to invite the Lord into the everyday, day-to-day stuff. That's the good. Listen, you have to be ready for him to infringe upon your plan. to insert his agenda into your own. You have to be ready for him to guide you and direct you in the day-to-day stuff for his kingdom. For his kingdom and for his glory. You're inviting him in. You now have to be ready for his direction. You have to be ready for what he says. You have to be ready for what he tells you to do, even in the day-to-day thing. And therein, for many of us, the bad. Oh, we're good at the front end. Whether favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord. We're good with the talk. But then the Lord responds his instruction, and we don't like it. You invite God into the troubled relationship, and then his word. Here's how you get out of trouble with them. I want you to go apologize. I want you to go and confess the wrong you've done. I want you to go and admit your responsibility in the fight. I want you to go and submit yourself to them. I want you to go to find new ways to serve them and be kind to them. I want you to go and pray for them. I want you to help them. And our favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord confession turns into no way. Not after they did like that to me. Not after they treated me that way. I'm not doing that. We disobey. That's the bad. You invite God into Sunday morning church, devotional Bible reading time. Lord, whatever you tell me today, I'm going to obey. And then the preacher starts preaching. And you start reading. All of a sudden, a word that sounds like this. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Forgive. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. No gossip. No revenge. No lust. No sinful anger. And our favorable, unfavorable God, we will obey you. Confession turns in. No way. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. What is this, the Old Testament? We've got to follow all the rules. I'm going to follow all the rules. I'm going to live in my freedom in Jesus. Do whatever I want and call myself his child and a follower of him. You invite God into your daily, everyday life stuff. And then you go to the grocery store and hear his word. I want you to go and pray for that person over there. You invite God into your daily, everyday life stuff. Go with you to work. And then his word. I want you to go talk to them about me. I want you to go and tell them what Jesus has done for you and that Jesus could do the same for them. I want you to invite them to church. You invite God into your daily, everyday life stuff to sit at the computer, to sit on the phone with you. And then his word. Let's not make that phone call. Let's not send that text. Let's not read that. Let's not look at that. Let's not post that. You invite God into the everyday stuff to ride in the car with you. And then his word. Let's turn that off. Let's me and you talk. Let me hear your voice worshiping me now. Do you understand? Our favorable, unfavorable, we're going to obey the Lord. Confession turns into no way. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I don't even know that person. You know how awkward and weird that's going to be going to offer to pray for them? They're going to think me crazy. I'm not doing that. My work people know me. My work people like me. I've done a lot to try to gain a good reputation among them. I'm going to talk to them about Jesus and the church. They might think me a hypocrite. They don't even know I'm a Christian. Probably going to be surprised when I say that I am. And they won't like me anymore if I do that. All of a sudden, I'm going to be the religious Jesus freak. I don't want to be that. I'm not going to do that. You know, they disrespected me. I'm going to send the email. You better believe I'm going to send the email. You know what? I'm going to post that. I just got to get that off my chest. No, I've too much on my mind for this car ride. I need to think other things through. There's no time to be distracted by prayer and worship. Do you understand? Oh, how quickly the good becomes the bad. Can I encourage you in that thought then? Maybe we would say it like that. Not meaning to detract from the good. The good is good. But ultimately, the good in the good is not just inviting him, but as well obeying him. According to James, there's good in hearing the word. But the real good, the ultimate good, the good in the good is doing the word, is obeying the word. Be good, not bad. Ask the Lord for his help, his guidance, his direction, his wisdom. Ask him what you should do. Ask him where you should go. And then obey whatever he says to you. Finally, this morning, the ugly. Jeremiah 43 and verse 4. All the army officers, all the people disobeyed the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. Instead, Johanan and all the army officers led away the remnant of Judah who had come back to live in the land of Judah from all the nations where they had been scattered. They also led away all the men, women, children, king's daughters. Verse 7. So they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord. The bad ultimately turns to the ugly. Ignore his word, disobey him. Listen to me. It will never just stop with that. But rather your life will spiral downward into the very things that God has commanded you not to do. It's so contrary to our thinking. Some of you may be arguing with me in your mind right now. Pastor, no way. I can disobey God in that. And it not affect all this. I'm still loving Jesus. I'm still going to serve Jesus. It's just that one thing I'm not willing to let go of. I'm not willing to get rid of. And I'm telling you that in fact you are wrong. You can't isolate things like that. Listen to me. Unchecked, your disobedience will turn into rebellion. And that's ugly. Jeremiah 42 and verse 13. This is the word of the Lord. However, if you say we will not stay in this land and disobey the Lord your God, if you say we'll go live in Egypt where we'll not see war or hear the trumpet or be hungry for bread, then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord says. If you are determined to go to Egypt and you do go to settle there, then the sword you fear will overtake you there. And the famine you dread will follow you into Egypt, and there you will die. Indeed, all who are determined to go to Egypt to settle there will die by the sword, famine, and plague. Not one of them will survive or escape the disaster I will bring to them. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. As my anger and wrath have been poured out on those who lived in Jerusalem, so will my wrath be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You will be an object of cursing and horror, of condemnation and reproach. You will never see this place again. Do you understand? God's response to disobedience and rebellion, that's ugly. Do you remember before it was a word of life, of compassion and salvation and deliverance and restoration? Now it's the sword and famine, plague, disaster and death. It's his anger and wrath. It's cursing and horror. It's condemnation and reproach. It's a hopeless despair. You will never see this place again. That's the ugly. The ugly that we stay far, far away from. Today, we choose obedience. We choose the good. We choose the good that is the good, the real good. We invite him in and we obey him in all that he says, favorable or unfavorable. And today, full disclosure, we choose repentance. We confess. We admit the guilt. We express the sorrow. And we turn away from the bad. And we turn away from the ugly. And we do that now. One says this, when you don't do something about the conviction of the soul, the intensity does not get stronger. The more we ignore the voice of God toward repentance and obedience, the more difficult it is to act. Today, even as you determine to pursue the good, if you can recognize some bad and some ugly in you, don't harden your heart. Don't miss the moment that is now to repent before Him. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Today we choose the good. The good that is really good. We will seek Him. We will ask of Him. We will inquire of Him. We will invite Him into anything and everything that is us and our lives. And whatever He says, we will do. We will obey Him. Father, I pray, would you help us in that? Even as we read the story in Jeremiah, we recognize that here in this moment, this is the easy part. This is the front end of the story where we say, sure, we're going to obey the Lord, whatever He says, favorable or unfavorable, we're going to obey Him. This is the easy part. Lord, we're going to need your help to go from this place and to live in the obedience that we confess to you today. Lord, would you help us to be a people of prayer? Would you help us to be a people inquiring of the Lord? Would you help us to be a people that don't just seek to meet with you on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whatever scheduled time we put in a given day that we call devotional time? Lord, would you help us to be a people that take you with us wherever we go? May our cars become sanctuaries of your presence. May our work cubicle become a sanctuary of your presence. May the grocery store aisle that we walk, may it be the place where the Spirit of the living God dwells and anoints us and empowers us. Out in the yard, at the coffee shop, in the restaurant. Lord, may it be that we take your presence with us and that wherever we go, wherever we are, we're constantly worshiping you and loving you and talking to you and asking of you and inquiring of you. Lord, keep us from the bad. Oh, keep us from the ugly. We repent this morning of any and all disobedience and any and all rebellion. Lord, would you come and would you fill this place? Would you move among us? Would you seal your word in our hearts, I pray, so that we can rightly respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray this morning for us, be good, not bad or ugly. And I pray the Lord's blessing on you. Would you stand to receive it? Would you extend your hands this morning? As under shepherd of the great shepherd and high priest of this assembly, I declare it over you on the authority of God's word. I speak it into your life and over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name, by faith this morning, receive the blessing of the Lord and say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Leave this morning good and blessed in the name of Jesus.